Good morning. Merry Christmas to you, church. Thank you so much for coming. I'm so glad to be here this morning and to celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So it is truly an awesome privilege. And it's not just one of the things that I was thinking of as I was planning to come up this morning was, this hasn't been just a day of celebration for me. It's not just about this day. It's not just about what happened, in the last couple days. But one of the things that's been on my mind is, as I've been preparing and thinking about Christmas for a while, I've been celebrating Christmas all month long, and probably since November already. I've been celebrating this incredible day for us as followers of Jesus. So it is so good to be able to come together and just fellowship together and worship our Savior together in song and in word. And so, truly a privilege to be here this morning. I've also just been sweating like crazy this morning as I turned on my device. Things didn't happen the way they should and it closed off, and Emily had hers, and so I grabbed hers because I have my stuff on there as a backup, and hers didn't work either, and now I look down, and it's a beautiful thing because things popped up. It's like, thank you, Jesus, for being near to us, and you'll get that in a bit while when I talk about my sermon this morning. So I don't know which one to use because now they're both here, so things are going really well. Yeah, Jesus is good when we ask. When we're praying quietly and in panic, it's just he hears us. So thank you, Emily. Can you bring me my little clicker? So I'll set this one aside for the moment. It's there. Should I need it? No. Can you? Yeah. Well, you can. Jesus is good. He will give me what I need. He will give me what I need. In fact, I've been going over it a fair bit. I could probably just about do it without notes, but my fear is that I will freeze up just like my iPad. But let's just, as we continue to worship together, let's just pray together and commit this time to our Lord. Father, it is so good to be together. To celebrate the birth of Jesus, your Son, who came to give us life, to give us a life abundantly. And you drew near. And so, God, we just worship you today as we celebrate, not only today, but throughout the month and the weeks to come. So thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your Son and your incredible love for us. You are good. You are a good, good Father. And we thank you, and we give you praise and glory for all these things, and we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Christmas is probably one of the noisiest seasons of the year when you think about all the gifts being wrapped and the food being prepared and the gatherings that are happening, and of course, Christmas Day, kids are up way too early. I'm glad I have teenagers because they had to be woken up today. So that's fantastic. And but it is a really noisy time of year. And yet the very first Christmas began with a quiet miracle. A baby, a manger in a small town. Bethlehem was... Different scholars have different views, but somewhere between three, I would go with, because of the differing numbers, I would go with the population of Bethlehem was somewhere between 300 and 700 people. So it's a pretty small, quiet town. And yet, this is where the whisper of hope began on that quiet night. In 2022-23, I walked through one of the hardest seasons of my life. I was exhausted. I was wounded. And honestly, I felt that there just wasn't much hope. I was feeling the hope slipping away. In the spring of 2024, our leadership here sent Pat and I on a pastor's retreat for a week. And so we went to this retreat center for a week of rest and renewal. And one morning, this was getting towards the end of the week, and one morning as I was sitting, they're like little apartments, well, they are little apartments. One morning I was sitting and staring out the window, and the sun was rising. In fact, it had gotten fairly high, and I could feel the warmth of it coming through the window. As I looked outside, spring had begun to come forth. It was breaking through that cold winter. Sunlight was warming the ground and snow was melting, and there's little streams of water were beginning to flow again. And as I sat there, God met me in that very quiet, intimate moment with Him. And as I was sitting there praying and talking to God, I wrote this poem, and I want to share it with you today. And this was the beginning of the hope, my hope, being restored. The sunlight breaks through the cold air, crushing the endless darkness, climbing higher and higher still, graciously and without discrimination, removing the remnants of another dark, cold winter season, exposing endless possibilities, the hope of what is still to come, and slowly at first, and then without notice, the majestic colors began to spring forth with radiant beauty as if that dark season never existed. And yet without fail, that season has produced that which was not there but one season before. The sun, S-O-N, has risen. This is a new day. And therein lies my hope restored. Spring is like a new beginning. You know, it's like when all that has been dormant for months begins to come alive with color and the smells. You can smell the freshness of that beauty. And that moment reminded me of this, that when God draws near, hope returns. And that first Christmas, God drew near in our world. When the light comes, darkness doesn't win. And that's really the story of Christmas. In Luke 2, 6, and 7, Luke tells us that while they were there, Mary and Joseph, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. And because there was no place for them in the inn. The real miracle of Christmas began in an incredibly humble place. It's in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. The King of Kings entered the world in humility and weakness for the very purpose of entering our lives with grace. John opens his gospel by pointing to a new beginning. Just as Genesis began with, in the beginning, John echoes it very intentionally in John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. But this time, John's not referring to the beginning of creation. What he's referring to is the beginning of a new creation, something completely and entirely new, a new dawn, a new beginning, breaking into the old one and giving mankind a new hope. And Christmas is not only about a baby in Bethlehem, but it's the moment that God begins to make all things new. And John tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Creator himself who hung the stars, laid below those stars in a feeding trough, in a manger. The God who holds the universe together, keeps it moving, was held in this young girl's arms, in Mary's arms. And the eternal God became a crying, vulnerable child. All because he refused to love us from a distance. He refused to love any one of you from far away. Christmas is not about us climbing out of our despair toward God, but it's about God coming down to us with the promise of a new beginning in the world. And for each one of you, when God drew near in the world, he didn't enter some picture-perfect world or some fairy tale story. He didn't arrive in some palace. He didn't arrive with some kind of incredible fanfare. He didn't even arrive to a place that was ready for him. When you think of all of the plans and preparations that go into people having a child today, they are planning and planning and planning and preparing and having all of the pieces in place. They know where to go or who comes in or what's happening. There was nobody. He came into a world, in fact, that didn't have any room for him. And that's where the second truth of Christmas meets us. God drew near in our need. The last part of Luke 2 verse 7 says, there was no place for them in the inn. The Savior of the world entered a world that the very night of his birth, the very night that he entered in, had absolutely no room for him. Not just crowded, not just distracted, but unable to make room for God on our own. And the first Christmas reminds us that God didn't wait for an open door. He didn't wait for us to give opportunity. He didn't depend on anything. Rather, he stepped into the cold and the chaos because, in fact, we were unable to make room, unable to comprehend even the fact that we needed help or we needed him. And this year, maybe there was no room for peace in your life, no room for rest, no room for joy, no room for hope. But the good news of Christmas is this: Jesus came precisely where you have nothing, absolutely nothing to offer. He came not because you were fine, but because you were lost. He didn't come because we were strong, but because you and I had absolutely no strength. And he didn't come because we are worthy. Rather, he came because his love is far greater than our need. Christmas is God saying, I see you in your emptiness. I see you in your brokenness. I see that you don't even have room for me. And I'm stepping into that. I'm stepping in towards you. I'm drawing near to you. Christmas is God entering our poverty with his abundance. God stepping into our neediness with mercy that just does not end. It doesn't run out. And when God drew near in our need, he didn't just enter our brokenness, to sit in it, to hang out with us in it. He came to change it. He came to bring something new to the world, something that the world could never produce on its own. Life where there is death, light where there is darkness, and hope where there is heaviness. The manger wasn't the end of the story. It was the beginning of God's rescue. The rescue that leads us to the third truth. That God drew near to us to bring us back to him, to restore that relationship with him. In John 1:4, he writes, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Life, because our souls were spiritually dead. Light, because the world was covered in darkness. God stepped toward us, not simply to comfort us, but to come toward us, come near to us. The manger leads to the cross. The cross leads to the tomb. And the empty tomb leads to a new life in Christ. Christmas is about rescue. The eternal Son took on flesh so that he could take our place. Christmas is about reconciliation. The one that we pushed away, the one that mankind pushed away, is the one who came running toward us, running after us. And Christmas is about redemption. Hope didn't simply draw near. Hope took hold of us. And God is still doing that today. For anyone who might feel far away from him, anyone who's carrying shame or fear or regret, Christmas declares that you are not too far away. Jesus has come to give you hope. Christmas is God drawing near in your world, in your need, in your hopelessness perhaps. And God drawing near to bring you back to himself. Back to that place of hope, back to that place of life. And so if this is what Christmas is, then how do you and I respond? How do we respond to God, to a God who has come so close? How do you respond to a Savior who steps into your darkness, lifts you from that brokenness, that hopelessness, and calls you to himself with a love that you and I could never earn, a hope that you and I could never attain? The shepherds actually model this for us. The shepherds show us the way. When the angels announced the good news to these shepherds who were out in the fields, you know, keeping track of these animals, they announced the good news. The shepherds, they didn't argue amongst themselves. They didn't have a great debate. They didn't have a conversation. I don't even think they got cleaned up. They just simply went as they were. In all their brokenness, in all their need, in all of their baggage that they had. And when they encountered Jesus, something in them changed. Because when they met Jesus, they came to this little baby boy in some kind of a feeding trough, and they knelt down in humility and they worshiped him. Worship rose out of them, and it was almost as if it was instinctive. And then they do what people do when hope gets a hold of their hearts. They told other people. They told other people about what they had seen, what they had witnessed, the hope they now had. It's when you experience that kind of hope, when you experience that kind of joy, it's hard to keep it in. It's hard to hold back. It's hard just to be quiet. And so maybe today, in the middle of your family gathering together, in the middle of all of the wrapping paper, and God is inviting you to respond in the same way, to share that hope that you have, to come to Him, to worship Him. Share the hope that you have in Him. Earlier I mentioned that retreat where God met me in a very gentle and unexpected way. And there's one more part of that story. In the corner of the room where we met each day for counseling sessions, there was this simple cutout of a word. It was cut out of wood, and it just sat on a table. But the word was hope, just a simple word. And it was nothing. It wasn't carved into any kind of fancy wood. It was nothing fancy. It wasn't ornate. But it was just a small reminder. And quite honestly, it became more than some kind of piece of decoration in that room. It became a confession, a prayer, almost a lifeline. And then probably, I can't remember if it was our last session with the couple, and we were talking about some things, and they were asking how we were doing at the end of the week. I was looking around, and I couldn't find that word. I couldn't find that word hope. And I kind of whispered to myself, where did hope go? Where has hope gone? And so I asked the couple who were in that counseling session, where did hope go? And Marshall, one of the counselors there, he just said, oh, we just moved it. And so I shared with them my journey that week. I shared with them that poem that I shared with you earlier, and how God had met me in my weakness, and how He had met me in my hopelessness and reawakened that hope in me where I thought it had died. And Marshall walked over to a counter behind me, shelving unit behind me, and he picked it up. And he walked over to me, and he said, Gary, I want you to take this home with you. Take hope home. Go home with hope. I went home with hope. This sits on one of our whatever things in the house. And every day, I look at my hope. The message of Christmas is simple. Hope has come near. Hope has taken on flesh. Hope has a name. Hope has a name, and His name is Jesus Christ. Say it with me. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Band, why don't you come on up? We're gonna worship this Jesus that gives us hope, that has given us incredible hope. And as they are getting set up and ready, I just want to spend some time in prayer this morning. Just as we spend our last moments worshiping in song, let's just pray. Our Father in heaven, Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that you draw near to us. Father, I pray that if there are those here today that have not responded, and you are inviting them to respond, then Father, I pray that they wouldn't wait any longer, that they would not delay. Father, we give you all the praise and glory, and may you be honored and glorified in our worship this morning and throughout this day. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.